Once again, I want to welcome every one of us to September, like my brother Soji has done. And it is the beginning or the first month of Ember months. And we all know in Nigeria that those months, they are like, they are jinxed. As if, for so many people are afraid. And they take extra caution when they want to do anything, because there is that belief that, oh, it's a month when there will be accidents, there will be some terrible things happening here and there, and all that, and all that. But for us, when people will be saying that there's a casting down, what shall we be saying? Praise the Lord. So, once again, I welcome you to Ember Months. Shall we turn in our Bibles to Psalm 46? Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her and shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms are moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolation he hath done in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bows and cutteth the spears in sunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire. Verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The topic of our discussion this morning will be based on a phrase that has repeated itself almost three times in the passage we read. You know, that's the first sentence of that Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength. And then I add to it, a bulwark never failing. I don't know if the technical can help me to get the hymn, Mighty Fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. So I want to sing the song. I hope you will be able to get the details of every word and every sentence of the hymn. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. A helper he amid the flood of mortals prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving will be losing.
were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Thus ask who that may be. Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabaoth is His name. From age to age the same. And He must win the battle. And though this war with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed His truth to triumph through us. No. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abide. The Spirit and the gifts are ours, through Him who with us abide. Let goods and kindreds go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever.
Praise the Lord. This hymn was composed by Martin Luther Sr. based upon Psalm 46. God is our refuge, our present help in trouble. What is a refuge? A refuge is a state. Please let's take note of that word, state. It's a state of being safe, protected, or sheltered from danger, difficulty, or evil pursuits. A refuge is a state of being safe, protected, sheltered from danger, difficulty, and evil pursuits. That is, being shielded, protected from troubles. And when we look at the book of Job, chapter 14, verse 1, Job 14:1 says, every man that is born of a woman is of a few days. And the few days are full of what? Of trouble. And so here, the word of God says, God is our refuge, our present help in times of trouble. In other words, as long as there are troubles, refuge becomes relevant. A refuge will become needful as long as there are troubles. And don't forget, the Lord Jesus Christ said, for us who are Christians, He said, I send you as sheep among the wolves. Sheep and wolves, are they friends? The Lord also said,
In the world, you will have what?
Tribulations.
But in me, you have peace. Be of good cheer, as I have overcome the world.
And so, this morning, I just want to encourage us. It's a word of comfort from the Lord to us. That we have a personality in God who says, look unto me. Look unto me. You know,
when you have a small kid that is a little bit troublesome, you can the trouser of an elderly person from the bar. And when you turn and say, you, what does he do? He runs. And we'll be laughing. Who is he running to, his father or mother? If you pursue him to his father and mother, will you beat him? You say, next time if you do that, I will spank you. And there we go. That's the way God helps us. When we move into this troublesome world, we are still battling with coronavirus. It has troubled the highest and the lowest. It has disturbed programs. It has disturbed journey and travelings. So many things have been disturbed. It's an evidence that we are still yet on earth, not yet in heaven. It's an evidence that whether we like it or not, trouble will come in one way or the other. You know, victory of a Christian is not an absence of battle. No, it is an encounter with battles of life, and not with my energy and strength, I am able to overcome. The fierceness of the battle varies from individual to individual. If you say you won't fight any, the devil will just laugh. But today, God is reminding us that, look, my son, my daughter, I am there for you. I am there with you. Whatever you face, I'm always around with you. So quickly, we will see some basic truth about refuge. Some basic truth we need to know about the refuge. Number one, we found out that consciously or unconsciously, every human being seeks for a refuge. There is a kind of universal demand for refuge. And that's what is responsible for so many groups, associations, even political groupings. And that is why some try to seek refuge with some other human beings or some so-called powerful occultic men. Some people are wrongly led to the wrong place to seek for refuge because there is that craving inside. Somebody's growing up is an unbeliever or unbelieving man or woman or mother or father will say, let us infuse your life with power. When there's a contest, either we go for an interview or there is a stool. People are contesting for. People look for different, you know, background. People will back them up. I have witnessed one or two. So it is a universal, silent cravings of every human being to seek for a refuge. So that's one fact that we need to know. What does Psalm 20 verse 7 say? Some people trust on chariots. Some people trust on horses. But we will continue to trust in the name of the Lord our God. That's to confirm that some people either go for this for their refuge, or they go for that for their refuge. So it's a silent, universal demand of men. The number two fact that we need to know, or truth that we need to know this morning, is that any refuge apart from God will fail ultimately. Any refuge apart from God will ultimately fail. Psalm 33, verses 16 and 17. He said, there is no king save by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain. It's a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Any other refuge apart from God, who has been from the beginning, who is and will always be, will fail. Any other refuge apart from God will fail. Number three, God as a refuge is ever available. Is ever available at any time. God, as we have learned before, is omnipresent. It's omnipresent. So, at any time, there is a need for him either to protect. Don't forget I don't want to call it definition, because the word of God is not definite. The more we look into it, the more we just think that we have not learned anything. It keeps on expanding, elastic. So the word of God cannot be defined and say, this is it. As I'm talking about a refuge now, somebody can come again under God's Holy Spirit inspiration and begin to say something else again, and every one of us will be blessed of it. So that's the word of God. So don't forget that we said a refuge is a state of being safe from danger, from any form of trouble. And so, at any time that God needs to do something, he will just do it. As an undergraduate student, I think I've shared this before here, that whatever God has done is eternal. It's like reading Psalm 23 again and again. You is the word of God. That's what the word of God is. So whatever the Lord has done can bless at any time. And I always love to illustrate some of these things with my personal experience. So as a student, we went to University of Nigeria, Nsukka, Enugu campus, for what we call NAS meeting. National Association of Architectural Students meeting. So we finished, and we left the campus. So when we were at the outskirts of the town, there is a market, I think they call it Ogbete Market or something. You know, on the way towards the 9th mile. So the other students say, hey, driver, stop. We want to buy something in the market. What do you want to buy? They stopped. Some of them went to the market.
But I decided to stay in the bus. And I was reading a novel, a Christian novel. Suddenly I said, okay, let me go and urinate. So while they were away, and I was looking at a tree on the left side of the road. So I alerted from the bus. It was around December. The bush was dry. So every of my step was making noise. Wah, wah, wah. So when I got to a spot and I said, okay, it is time. Let me unzip to begin to urinate. My head was bowed down. But suddenly I felt a shadow coming from top. So I'm under a tree anyway. That must have been a leaf. And so as I bent down, as I was trying to, that thing, this is my face. It's not, the distance between my face and that thing is no more than the way I'm handling the microphone. Brah! The thing landed on the floor. What was it? A snake. And of course, what do we expect? The urine disappeared automatically. So I ran into the bus. My heart was beating. I sat down and I started imagining. Supporting didn't landed on my head. Before I could throw the thing away at all, only know God knows how many bites, you know. And I started imagining, I said, God, thank you. I was filled with gratitude to God. Brethren, when you look at that scenario, you know, there are emergencies that you, when it happens, there's nothing you can do. And that's what God is saying, I am there for. Something that will come unnoticed, undesired, unexpected, harmful, destructive, but I will make sure that I kick them off. That's what God is saying this morning to us. So he says, he is our refuge and our strength. So number three is that he's available at all times. You remember 1 Kings chapter 18, the confrontation of Elijah and the prophet of Baal. You know the story. When Elijah said, okay, let's do it. No problem. No problem. Oh yeah, build an altar. Take your sacrifice. Put it. Oh yeah, call your God. And let the fire come. And they called, Baal, hear us. Baal, hear us. They shouted and shouted. Elijah even made some men of God can be humorous, you know. He made a jest of them. He said, call, maybe he's sleeping. Call on him. Maybe he's traveled. You know, when I read those verses, I laughed. I imagined Prophet Elijah. I said, you must have been laughing too. After they failed. They said, okay, now, repair the altar, pour water, first time, second time, third time. And then he called upon the Lord. And what happened? The fire fell. So that is to say, at any time, Baba God is available to us. Number four, God's refuge is not like, that's why I said, please take note of the state when I was explaining what refuge means. It's a state and not a station. God's refuge is a state and not a station. In other words, God's refuge over his children is mobile. It is an abiding phenomenon that goes along with every one of us wherever we go. We cannot say God is our refuge inside the church, and when we go out of the church, he's no more there. No. God is our refuge at all times, at any place. Praise the Lord. That's why in Exodus chapter 13, you will discover from verses 21 to 22, God was leading his people from Egypt with a pillar of cloud by the day, and then in the night with a pillar of light. And so, consistently, God is always manifesting himself in the life of his people. Psalm 121, verse number 4 says that God, our Father, that keeps Israel, he neither sleeps nor slumbers. Number 5, for as many as are listening to us, and you are thinking, how can I get in touch with God as my refuge? Psalm 46 we read, as our text. Verse 1, what does it say? It says, God is our refuge and strength. And the next sentence says, a very present, that is now, you can be connected. It's unlike NEPA. You need the light. Like since yesterday now, we were struggling. You need the light, but it's not available. But God is consistent. He's ever available. Praise the Lord. So those are, I consider them, five major truths that we need to know about God being our refuge. Now, how do we appropriate this provision of God's refuge to our lives? So, just answer those ones in a moment. How do we appropriate it? We'll be using a few scriptures to illustrate that. Matthew 11, verse 28. That's a pronouncement from the Lord Jesus Christ. I love Master Jesus so much. He says, come unto me. That I use that so many times on evangelism. When somebody says, come. In other words, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter the challenges you are carrying. It doesn't matter the trouble that you are facing. So he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, all you that are facing trouble of this world, including corona. He said, come. He said, come. I don't mind you coming at all. I am ready for you. I'm waiting for you. Come. So that's number one thing that we need to do. Psalm 91, verse 1. What does it say? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall do what? Under the secret. That's it. That's it. He that dwelleth. So that's number two. Number two, verse 29 of that Matthew 11 says, "Say, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Two things. Take my yoke upon you. What is a yoke? Yoke is a very, very well-treated hardwood. Maybe about 4 feet. Well-seasoned. Used to link 2 cows together for agricultural purposes and work. That is to say, they want to use the energy of 2 cows to drive their equipment. So they put the yoke between the two and rope it, and rope with the cow, the horns of the two cows. They tie them together tightly, so tightly that they cannot escape each other. So they move together. That is by force anyway. That's by force. But the Lord was illustrating the kind of relationship he wants to keep with us in order to enjoy his presence, his companionship. He was illustrating it with the yoke. That the yoke makes us inseparable. We are together. Wherever I go, you will go. Wherever I am, you will be there. You want to be where only where I approve or approve of. I hope grammatically I will not be crucified. Praise the Lord. So, yoking together. Say, take my yoke upon you. Let us go together. When we are going together, leave the rest to me. Leave the rest to me. Praise the Lord. So, and then the second point there is that it says, learn of me. So when we are yoked together with the Lord, there is a lot to be learned from Master Jesus. He is a priest. He is a teacher. He is a pastor. He is a leader. And he is the Lord. So there's a lot to learn from him. And one thing about him is that, let me not use the word eloquent, but God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are not stingy with their words. Before you need a word, it has been deposited in the system. As long as you are learning, as long as you desire to learn from him, before the relevance of what he's teaching you today comes, he has taught you. He has deposited it inside of you. So there wouldn't be any emergency. Even when physical emergency comes, you're already prepared. You're already loaded. And then all you do is to manifest what he has spoken to you. He said, learn of me. There's a lot to learn from our Lord Jesus Christ. Is it humility? You want to learn about him? Selflessness? You want to learn about him? That's why Paul, the apostle, was teaching the Philippians, chapter 2, from verse 5. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who taught it not to be a robbery, of being called God? But he made himself of no reputation. And then he became a man. And when he became a man, he became a servant. And when he became a servant, he became obedient. What kind of obedient? He obeyed until he was crucified. Unto death. So the Bible says, therefore God has also highly exalted him and gave him a name. So there's a lot to learn from the Lord Jesus Christ. And they say, how do we learn? Through his word. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewith shall a young man keep his will pure? By taking heed, O Lord, according to thy word. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. How do we learn? We can learn through fellowship, coming together. Hebrews 10:25. Say, we should not forsake the assembly of one another. Don't mind coronavirus, that the devil sent to separate us, to make it impossible for us to be meeting. Now lie.
The way Corona came, the same way it will go. In the name of Jesus. So by fellowshipping, virtual or physical, and through daily communion with the Lord, we must not miss a single day without communing with our Lord. So when we do that, we'll be learning from in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, say, pray without ceasing. Number three, for us to be able to appropriate the provision of God being a refuge to our lives is trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. So that's Psalm 91, actually, which will have been our second text. Verse 2, if we read it, we say, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. My refuge, in Him will I trust. Somebody gave an illustration one day that this man was climbing a very, very high hill, you know, very high. So, and you know, this when you both they like adventure. As he was climbing and climbing, suddenly the leg tripped off and started rolling down from a very, very, very tall. While he was coming, he found his hand hanging around a tree and he held on to it with, see nobody to help. Anyway, the tree too is still very, very high. It's still part, the tree was hanging out of the mountain. So the ground is still very, 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 very far. And nobody to help. And so, Lord help me, Lord help me. And it was ministered to his heart that if you can trust me enough, remove your hand from that tree. Remove your hand from the tree. So, your guess is as good as mine. Praise the Lord. Trust him. Trust is a complete and total dependence on the ability of our companion. Number four, that's found in verse 10 of Psalm 46 we have read. Number four, what did he say? The first two verses, yes. Say, be still. Be still. What does it mean to be still? To be calm. No agitation. No struggling. You are yoked with the master. The master wants to go left. He said, no, I want to go right. You are not still with him. Say, be still and know that I'm your refuge. Be calm. Don't struggle with me. How best is to rescue a drowning amateur swimmer? A swimmer that doesn't know how to swim. How best do you rescue such a fellow? What do? You allow him to take plenty of water. Let him finish drinking plenty of water. At that time, he becomes helpless. Energy gone. And then the diver will go, take him by the hand, easily begin to drag him to the shore. But when the man is still, he will still be doing, at that time, it is difficult. Because if the saver
or the driver doesn't take his time, it can cause him some trouble too. So he said, be still and know that I am your rescuer. For all our doctors, when we get to the hospital, what do you do? They want to carry out an operation. What's the first thing they will do to us? I'm sure Prof know, will tell us. There's what they call they will just put the injection. Within 3-5 minutes, the man is still. He's still in the hand of the doctor. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to inject us with an injection of stillness. So when we are still in the hand of our Father, it's so easy for Him to take us wherever we be the best place. As I'm rounding up, my brothers and sisters, as we face September, October, November, and December, the Lord will be our refuge. You remember in Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, after the Lord had called Moses, I call him Papa Moses. Some of these people, I always imagine one day when I see them, maybe their beard will be so long and white. I mean, how old am I compared with their own age? Then I would say, Papa, sir. So that's why I start to address them the way I would love to address them when I see them. Praise the Lord. God, the fire was burning, the grass was not consumed. There is no natural man who will see that and will not pay attention. And as he was paying attention, in order for him to be convinced that, look, it is not one demon from the atmosphere, from the bush, that is doing abracadabra. It is me, God, of your father, of your Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 7 now, let's say, I have heard the cry of my people. I have seen their affliction, and I am come to deliver them. My brothers and sisters, as we stalk into the next 4 years, whatever it is that has kept somebody in bondage will be broken. God says, I am come to deliver. He has the ability and capacity to deliver. He will do it. Before I close, finally, there is a statement. I say it's my last, my final word. And it's based on Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse number 8. It says, now if the hedge is broken, the serpent will bite. So, this is the way I put it as my last or final word. I say, stay or abide within the boundaries of your limitless life in Christ Jesus. Stay or abide within the boundaries of your limitless life in Jesus Christ. And then the refuge of the Lord will work for you. Stay, abide within the boundary of your limitless life. Our lives are limitless in Christ. But then we have boundaries. We have boundaries. Just like Papa, Adam and Eve, they had enough fruit and food to eat. And God said, hey, of that one, oh, don't touch it. Don't. Honestly, as far as God was concerned, it's not that God wants to or wanted to put them under any bondage. No, it's just to please you don't bother yourself. God had the capacity to uproot that tree anyway, to avoid them eating it. It's just to let us know, look,
there are certain things you cannot afford to throw yourself into. Don't see trouble and nosedive into it. That's what God is saying. When he said, give me a tenth of your income. How much is a tenth of 1,000? Just 10 naira. You know, how much is 10 naira to God? The one who has heaven and earth. It's just to let us know that, look, I am God. And I'm in charge. And I would like for you to operate according to the precepts of my desire and expectation. So do it the way I want it. He's sovereign. He's sovereign. And so, according to that Exodus chapter 3, where we are in, it wasn't as if Moses didn't write application to God to come to deliver Israelites. No. Out of his sovereignty, out of his determinate counsel, he just said, it is time to deliver my people. And I say upon this altar, upon the authority of the word of God, that the affliction that somebody has been going through from the beginning of this year, the oppression that man thinks he can use to afflict you, Baba is saying, I'm arising for your deliverance. As we go into the next 4 months, the Lord is going to be your refuge and it's going to be my refuge. And our lives will be secured. Just bow our heads and pray. And commit ourselves into the hands of the Lord. Corona or no corona, in the next 4 months, where God had proposed my life to get to, I will get there. The promotion, oh yes, God is talking about somebody. You have dwelt too long on that step, whether they call it step or stage or whatever. God is saying you have dwelt too long, just like he told Israelites. Enough is enough in Egypt. God is telling you that I will surprise you. Oh, God is saying, I will surprise you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, you had a dream. And there was a serious conflict in the dream. And you were wounded on your left arm. It was a very serious wound on your left arm. You woke up and said, oh, so it was a dream. A few days after, you begin to feel pain on that left arm. God is saying, the foe has been defeated. And you are healed in the name of Jesus. Father, we are grateful to you today. Lord, we bless your name, O God, for your word. Thank you because you have decided long, long time not to leave your children in ignorance. You have purposed in your heart from day to day, from time to time, to continue to enlighten us. We are grateful. Lord, we thank you for your promise to us to be our refuge. And so we agree that in the day, you will be our refuge. In the night, O God, you will remain our refuge. At work, O God, you will remain our refuge. In the day of trouble, you will appear. You said we should not be afraid. And so, Lord, I pray, as we trust in you, as we remain still in your hands, you will fight our battles. In our lives, O Lord, your name alone will be glorified. We worship you, our Father. Thank you for hearing us.
May your presence go with us today. In Jesus' name we have prayed. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. God bless you.